end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Hello, welcome to the Dolph Fan UK podcast. Bank holiday weekend, buzzingly, absolutely buzzing. 4-day weekend. I've never needed it more, so I'm very happy. Joined by Lee, as always. Few bits to get through today, but how are you, sir? Are you okay?
Yes, doing well. Also, definitely looking forward to a few days off. Yes, hopefully, some quiet. But you know that's going to trigger Dolphins news at, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning tonight and cue madness for the next 2 days.
Exactly. Well, I'm voluntarily staying up till the crack of dawn to watch the Blue Jays. So that's the main thing. I'm excited. Told you last weekend, baseball's back, and baseball has been good so far. Made my own baseball debut last week, actually, by the way. Bournemouth Bears, away at Bristol. RBI single for me. Drove in a run. 2 wins. There you go. Good day out.
Very Bournemouth. Good.
Up the Bears, not the Chicago Bears.
Hell no.
Well, we've got a few things to get through. It's one of them weeks where there's little bits of news, a bit like last week. But let's just talk some Dolphins football, man. It's nearly the draft, but we're gonna do draft next week, aren't we? Or maybe Start of the actual draft week itself. There's some draft stuff to talk about, but as we've discussed before, we've got picks, so it's not that exciting this year, is it? So.
It's far harder when you know. There's 100 picks before you actually make a pick. You know,
we
can't cover every scenario that might happen to figure out who's there. It's been a bit easier than last. We could pin our flag to somebody pretty early. But
exactly. Looking forward to next year with 2 first rounds again because it's. Do you know what? It's actually bliss on Dolphins Twitter, hasn't it? Without the first 2 draft picks, I've not had to deal with like spicy takes from people.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of thing. People have not watched any college football and suddenly out of nowhere.
Whichever quarterback's left at the end of the first round.
Exactly. Do you know what's also funny is that we're not going to be talking about taking a first round running back. We're not talking about taking a second round running back. I doubt we'll take a third round running back. But, you know, we'll see how that.
I just want to say, 102, get your money on running back right now because Andy has said it won't happen.
Exactly. Right, a couple of small bits first, then we'll dig into a couple of bigger bits. I don't know whether anyone picked up, but I think we've kind of got to the point where we're sure that Mike Gesicki's. I don't know whether we still could if he wanted to, but he's definitely moved on from the sort of all the talk about the wide receiver tag instead of the tight end tag. Came out earlier today and said he wasn't a big controversy guy. Was it earlier today? Might have been yesterday. One of the two. Anyway, that's good news, I think.
Depends when you're listening to this as well, to be fair.
Could have been 3 days ago, could have been a week ago. But the good news is that we're not going to get any controversy there. We're not going to get a holdout from Gesicki. Got one of our premium playmakers ready to line up alongside Hill and Waddle next year. And that guy's going to be a big factor, isn't he, mate? And it's good news this week that he's kind of focused and ready to get on with the job.
Yeah, and I think this has really been a product of the media.
Not the media. This is definitely a social media thing. I don't think we can blame the media too much for this one.
No, there's been some beat writers out there putting out that this is going to be a problem. But you're right. I think he just wants to get on with it, prove he's worth the money, and the Dolphins will pay accordingly. I think this is the sort of good grace you've bought yourself by paying Emmanuel Ogba and, you know, following through with your word with Xavier Howard. You know, you do what, you know, you prove that you're worth that money, we'll pay you that money. You know, nice and simple. And I think he also mentioned it's in the team's benefit for him to play on the tag, you know, so that's the sort of stuff that GMs love. You know, they're working. I said it when he was put on the tag. I believe they're working together. This isn't there's no animosity here. This is, look, we know where you stand. You know where we stand. This is what's got to happen right now. We're going to figure this out. Best for everybody. So,
yeah, it's good stuff, man. I'm excited to watch him this year. I still think he's been underutilized in recent years. You see, really sort of hot starts like worldy catches, like incredible stuff, and then you'll have games where one target, no catches, and you're like, come on, this guy's a huge factor. And I think we're going to see him a lot more this year. Just got every faith in this sort of offensive-minded head coach just coming in and going, this is our guy. And man, I'd be excited. If he's getting 6-7 targets a game, I think the Dolphins are doing something right. I've lost my voice halfway through there, so it took away from the point. But the Dolphins are doing something right if he's getting a lot of targets. Is there anything that you kind of want to see from Gesicki that we haven't seen so far in 2022?
I'd love to see that game where he's just an unstoppable force, because I believe it's in him. And I don't think we've really seen that game where he just like he takes over. We've not seen that Travis Kelce game. We've not seen that George Kittle game where they're just able to basically take over for whatever reason. You know, they are the focus because it's a good matchup or because someone else has got hurt or whatever. But you know, the offense is flowing through them. Like you say, it's always been stop-start. And I do believe that's been down to, in the first instance, being drafted onto a team with a head coach that asked you to block, knowing that you can do it, but it's clearly not his strength. Like, you know, if you want him to do what's, as Mike McDaniel said, get the best out of him, it's to use him as a playmaker. Yeah. And then to have a defensive-minded coach who's built abysmal offensive staff. And I think that's what's played into the sort of up and downs of, you know, feeling like you've not seen the best of Mike, even though, you know, and Simon pointed this out a few weeks ago when it said he felt underused, that he had a career year. But it doesn't feel that way, which, you know, you just feel like you're getting robbed of his true potential. And you can, yeah. I think you saw that at times in frustration, which was, he was able to express his frustration, you know, in not, it's not a productive way, but it wasn't in a distractive way to the rest of the team. It was just, you know,
he became a leader, didn't he? It was like you saw him tap around at the line of scrimmage, and that wasn't from frustration with his own sort of targets, his own sort of usage, but it was more frustration about the sort of, you know, just the basic concepts of the offense, wasn't it? Yeah, like you say. So, I mean, yeah, he became a leader last year. Hopefully he sticks at it again this year, because there's a lot of sort of competing personalities now. Now we've brought Hill in, you've got a bit more of the sort of, you know, the flair, which also sometimes brings the sort of, you know, sideline antics as well. So, because he's going to be key in that, isn't he? So, really, hope we see him. Hope we see him line up out wide as the X receiver sometimes. I think that's where he could be used to some significant benefits in those contested catches and red zone sort of matchups and sets. So, yeah,
it feels like there's going to be specific ways to get him involved in the game and to get him open. So, you're going to see stuff that is designed specifically for Mike Gesicki. And I don't think we've seen that in the past. There's nowhere else to go. Big man in the middle of the field.
Indeed. Right. That's enough on that. We've talked to Gesicki a lot this offseason, but really good just to hear those words. And he feels like he's going to have a good year in this staff. And well, everyone does at the moment, but like particularly excited to see what he can do. Melvin Ingram, talk to me a bit about that. We've been in for a visit. What's your feelings? Is he becoming a Miami Dolphin? What would he bring to the team?
I mean, what was it, maybe 3 years ago when he hit free agency and he was one of the top free agents on the market? You know, it was rumored the Dolphins would be very interested. So the interest isn't a surprise. You hope that he's not using them as a kind of stalking horse again, because it does have that kind of feel to it as well. But I do think, you know, he brings experience and pass rush ability. Like, you can't have too many pass rushers. Like, if you can't find a way to incorporate him into the team and get stuff done, then you've probably got bigger issues than the Melvin Ingram. But I mean, look, I think that kind of mature talent is are the sort of players that push you over the top. So, would be more than happy to see him signed as a Dolphin. Also, if he's not going to probably lose any sleep over it either. I think that, but it does show you the Dolphins are trying to get some stuff done and get players in place, or at least get a good feel for these things before the draft rolls around. Because obviously, you know, you mentioned limited picks. You can't plug every hole there, and where they're picking, you're not getting
premium talent.
That's it. So many things could happen first that, you know, you're going to be reacting on the fly here. If you, you know, if you believe in best player available, you may not plug gaps because you're taking the best player available. So I think that, you know, the best thing to do is to have some not deals in place, but have some plans in mind, have some players in, so you can react quickly to anything that happens in the next couple of weeks.
And last season production wasn't like too bad. Three sacks is like pretty poor, but 10 quarterback hits, 42 pressures, forced fumble. There's still productivity in there, but you're not bringing him in there to be that 10 and 15 sack guy a year. You've got two of those in Phillips and Ogbro on the roster. This is another leadership move, isn't it? You're still quite a young team when it's all said and done. You know, it's, the defense is growing together, but it's still a very young defense. I mean, you've got, you know, there'd be more assistance for Jerome Baker leading that sort of front seven. That kind of thing would be really beneficial. And I hope we do it. Actually, I think it's one of those ones where he's not coming off a, you know, big year, and he's probably not got overinflated a view of himself at the moment. He's probably looking to latch on, make a few more quid or bucks or whatever, and just drive forward the development of some of the young guys around him. So I think it's a sensible time to pick up that with England.
It also feels like this might be a better coaching staff for him than Brian Flores is. Obviously, didn't seem to be a good mesh when he went to Pittsburgh and wanted out of there pretty quickly. You know, obviously played into the stats last season, being moved during the season. So, you know, you could definitely see it as well as partly as an investment in Jalen Phillips' future, because you're just putting more experience around a young guy who's obviously very talented and it's got plenty of room to grow. And that's not supposed to sound like a negative about Jalen Phillips. The more talent you can draw from, the better.
Exactly. And it's going to be, and like, you know, if you can get more out of Phillips, and I'm really excited for Phillips this year. I think that's probably when we come to our season preview, that's going to be one of the top three things I'm excited about, is Jalen Phillips becoming that dominant defender he's got the potential to do. So fingers crossed that happens. Anything more on that? Any other small little bits you want to get into before we get into some of the bigger stories around the Dolphins this week?
No, I'd be honest, I'd be pretty happy if they signed. And, you know, the more we talk about it, the more kind of edging towards, yeah, I hope it happens. But I say, if it doesn't, I can completely understand why as well. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of money invested in defense. Like, you could be weighing up, do we sign a veteran pass rusher, or do we put that money into the O-line?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and that would give everyone, you know, it would make everyone think before committing. So,
indeed,
they're still being active. You know, the free agency isn't dead to them yet.
Yeah, there's a rumor like going around that JC Tretter, is that his name?
Yep,
that's his name, isn't it? Sorry, I've read so many offensive linemen's name this offseason, but JC Tretter's coming for a bit of a workout as well, or at least in the Dolphins' sphere of interest. So there's a move that would make sense, but also feels like it'd probably be a fairly expensive move as well in the grand scheme of things. So I do wonder if that gets done. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I think we mentioned a few weeks ago that if you go back through the places where Mike McDaniel has been, and the coaches he's worked under, there's been this kind of history of bringing in expensive is part of it, but not the reason, but experienced veteran centers. And I think that's probably one of those things that's key. And I'm a little bit surprised that they haven't made a move in that direction yet, whether that's because they are happy with what they got, or they're just, it feels like there's more dominoes to fall there, but
yeah,
say a lot of places they've brought in veteran talent from around the league to play that position. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the starting center for this team is not on the roster today.
Yeah, what I'd like to see there is just someone that's definitely going to be around for 2 or 3 years. Obviously, you can't guarantee their success until they've stepped foot on the field, but
no,
it's all part and parcel of like Tua's development, isn't it? We just need to give him the best chance this year, and that's just by having that sort of security. And I think that's I see our friend Jason sort of hyping Michael Dieter quite a lot, and I just don't see it. He doesn't hype him in terms of what he's already done, but he keeps saying that the Dolphins are a big fan of him, and that might be so, but you know, I'd rather have that experience there.
He also has, you know, he missed games for injury last year, so you need someone else who can play that position anyway. So, you know, you still have to make moves. There's still stuff to happen. It's not as, I don't think it's as simple as, oh, we're over the moon with what we've got right now. I think the fact that JC Treter is even being mentioned in, like you say, in their minds tells you that they're still looking at that position. That position's not set. So, and you know, I think it's important to mention, you said there that it's important for Tua's development to have somebody there that's kind of a consistent. It's also important if Tua's not your guy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. For any quarterback, it seems to be, you know, Marquise Pouncey in Pittsburgh was brilliant for years. Do you know what I mean? And we had it with Mike Pouncey. When Mike Pouncey played, things were different. Do you know what I mean? You could really tell when he was missing, which was unfortunate, but you'd love to have that kind of player there for a few years to come.
Let's hope we don't go in for JC Treter and then bring his former quarterback with him. unwelcome to start with.
So you're on a quiet weekend?
Something like that. all good fun. We need to dive into this Tom Brady stuff a bit, really, don't we? I mean, can't ignore it. There's not a lot to sort of be said as a sort of conclusion of it, but it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting, and we can't avoid it. And unfortunately, the story came from our friend up in New England, Ben Volin, isn't it? The Boston Globe reporter. He's the sort of biggest Tua beta on Twitter, sort of outside of the normal realms of conversation on Dolphins Twitter. So, it came from him. But the story being, guys, I'm sure you've seen it, that Tom Brady was due to take a sort of exec position with the Miami Dolphins, come out, and then the Dolphins would sort out some sort of compensation package for the Buccaneers, and Brady would become the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins this year. Didn't come to fruition. The Flores lawsuit sort of put pay to that, but it's like what I said on Twitter today, it's so fascinating that Dolphins could have gone this way, but now we've gone in like such a polar opposite direction. It's the direction we've gone is exciting, but it's interesting that this was apparently, you know, the Dolphins aren't coming out and denying this, are they, too much? So it feels like it's probably in the realms of possibility, and fascinating. And I wonder why they, I mean, this is getting to pure speculation, but if they were after that veteran presence of Brady, was it just Brady they wanted? Or, you know, have there ever been any conversations around your sort of Matt Ryans of the world and that kind of thing as well? It's very interesting. I'm not going to discuss it in relation to sort of what they think of Tua. We all know now that Tua seems to be the guy. McDaniel's come in and he's put a lot of things around Tua to make him succeed. But it's interesting, isn't it, mate? Like where this kind of seems to have come from. And do you think it was more Stephen Ross-led, or do you think Brady just wanted to really get one over on the Patriots, or probably a bit of both? What do you reckon?
I'll be honest, I think it's actually got very little to do with the playing side of things. I think it's more to do with the long-term having a stake in the team. I think that's the next step to conquer is to win a business as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's obviously successful with his own brands and stuff like that, but the next thing would be to be at the helm of a team that is successful. And, you know, however that comes about, you know, the obvious thing is the Michigan connection. Do you know what I mean? It makes sense. Like, it's hard to argue against it when you see a story like that written, because it makes plausible sense.
Yeah. But it's weird that that's the only reason why it would be the Dolphins. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like, obviously, there's the kind of Miami itself is a big selling point for some of these guys. But it's just very interesting that kind of, you know. Go on.
I want to know, for what people is Miami not a selling point for?
I know, of course.
But no,
I can tell you that for free. That is my wife is not a fan of Miami. What? There you go. There's a thing.
She unbelievable.
It's too hot. The traffic's too bad. So so we're not moving there. That's official.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, it's a really interesting story, man. I mean, like, just this kind of absolutely crazy, the kind of different direction this team could be in right now. We could be talking about Brady's quarterback two and probably go and all that kind of thing. And it's just interesting that sort of last Brian Flores thing to do with the Dolphins. I think a lot of people prefer where we are now than where we would have been in this situation. And thus maybe, you know, maybe they should be thanking Brian Flores for a last minute intervention to dissuade the so-called plan.
Yeah, it feels like we're on a, I don't know.
It's a hard one to discuss, isn't it? Because like,
yeah, it is.
It's true, but and it's nothing to do with the current reality. It's just interesting.
But you know, if you want to have a look at it, it's weird that it never really, when the story came out, it kind of went out on all the outlets, but it wasn't the kind of bombshell that you would imagine it was, you know, because realistically, like Ben Volin's writing out that tweet before it hits send, it's like pulling a pin out of a grenade, just hurling it into Twitter to see what happens. Like, yeah. But that's not what really transpired. It kind of like fizzled. Like,
but you know why that is? That's because we've seen such a good positive stuff around McDaniel. And that's because of all the positive moves the Dolphins have made.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. This fan base right now is excited. Everyone's really positive. And thus, you can throw out the fact that he won seven or six, I can't remember. He's won a proven Super Bowl winner was buzzing to be involved with the Miami Dolphins. And we don't care because we've got the quickest offense in this league. And we've not even seen it play yet, but we're absolutely buzzing to watch it happen.
Tell you what, you know that meme that's basically used all the time, the one with the guy and his girlfriend, he's looking back at the other girl, yeah, right? Yeah. But we could redo that. So this time he's actually just looking forwards. He's not even looking back because that seems to have been what's happened. Crazy times, but it's great that everyone seems to be in a good place and excited. Like you said a minute ago, You don't know how this is going to play out. No one does, but that's not the point. The point is you're excited and pulling in the same direction. That's great. Let's see what happens when we get to September and they hit the field. Then we can start to make, you know, true assessments. But for it to be exciting is all you can ask for.
And if you're playing sort of devil's advocate with this Brady stuff, you wonder where it would have gone if he had come in, because he would have wanted, like, obviously what's happened with the Bucks now is that they've shunted Bruce Arians, that sort of stuff. And you definitely, obviously it depends what Brady's role would have been, but you're damn sure that he would have had the coach that he wanted, would have all been sort of Brady's offense, you know. It would have been fascinating to see what happened with that. But just kind of, do you know what? It's probably should be one of those things that we as a fan base take as a compliment, that somebody of that sort of quality throughout their career wanted to come and be a part of the Miami Dolphins and believes the sort of the in the direction of travel, even if it doesn't transpire as he wanted it to or anything like that. This is an organization that's appealing and it should continue to have appeal, even when it seems to be sort of on its knees for a bit. There's a thing for you. You can give me the nod. I like that.
I'm gonna have it to ask you.
Good stuff. No, but I'm glad that we kind of debated this for 2 minutes. We came to the conclusion that we're just damn excited to watch what this team can do in 2022. So,
oh yeah, that's the thing. Every time you see something, it's crazy. So a friend of mine, and he literally just texted me a minute ago. So I'd sent him, it might have been the Mike Gesicki presser, and he just responds each time with, "Well, we're going to win the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter." It's like that's the excitement that you should have at this time of year. Like, that's. Yeah, you know, exactly. And I said plenty of times before, Stephen Ross gets a bad rap at times for things that have gone on. But one thing you can never, ever say is this team has always had money invested in it. You can see that everything is done trying to win. Like, that's it, even, you know, anything that happened is always with the long-term goal of making this into a winner. And I think there is some owners and organizations across the league where fan bases would cut off an arm for that. You know, they're in a perpetual cycle of being poorly run and poorly managed. And look, we're at a great stage right now where we can have excitement.
Yeah,
we're excited in April. We've got 4 draft picks. Come on.
Yeah. Woo. 4 running backs. Yeah.
That's it. And we're over the moon about this. You know, that just tells you how exciting things can be.
Exactly. Right, that's enough Brady. He will be on the Buccaneers this year, and we have got the fastest offense on turf. So there you go. Exciting times. You're going to say the next word because I don't know how to pronounce it, and you are confident that you're going to pronounce it. So I'm going to say that our current quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, held an event this week, and you're going to tell me what that event was called.
It was a luau.
A luau. There you go. It almost sounded a bit French, even though it's Hawaiian. I like that, but...
French Polynesian. I have no idea. I'm talking absolute crap right now.
All over it. But the interesting stuff that came out of this was the sort of team spirit, wasn't it? And it seems to be sort of a very niche topic is for a podcast is team spirit. But talk to me about it, mate, because it just felt good, didn't it? Even we weren't there. Let's put that out there. We weren't there, but the coverage, the sort of presentation of it, the coaching staff attending, it just felt good.
Yeah. So first of all, we've got to probably put it out there that we kind of need Tua to come on this podcast and explain to us where our invites have got lost. But whatever, we'll gloss over that for now. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like he had tremendous support from, you know, a couple of the players that turned up. You know, especially with Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. With Coach McDaniel turned up. And I think in some of the interview clips that you saw from the news and, you know, just across Twitter in different spaces, I thought he looked a bit emotional about it. That you could see how much it meant to him. I think that's kind of a reflection on the cold shoulders he's got for the last kind of 2 years. And I think that's great. It's a great place to be. I think this is how you build the chemistry and how you become synonymous with each other. You know, that's how you get those tandems. That's how you get the Marx brothers. That's how you get anytime you can talk about two players, you can't talk about one without the other. That those relationships are built as much off the field as they are on the field. And I think, you know, this shows a lot of that. Everyone seemed to be getting involved. Mike McDaniel seemed to be having a good time and was happy to play along and just, but also looked genuinely pleased to be there and to be able to support, you know, a young player. And that's great. I think that's what you want your organization to do, is to build your players up, not strip them down.
Feels basic, doesn't it? Like it's basic sort of communication, and it's basic sort of like team morale and camaraderie. But it's crazy that even at the level that these guys are at, that hasn't been the case. And we'd have never known it wasn't the case. Do you know what I mean? That was what's so interesting about the whole our off-season, getting rid of Flores and moving on, is that we thought everything was pretty rosy. We didn't think everything was rosy, but we also didn't really think it was like that bad that we're going to see like a coach fired and then suddenly everyone sort of, you know, piling on and saying, actually, thank God that guy's gone. But here we are.
It's such a weird situation. I think you've also seen in some of the presses, and I think in of Austin Jackson in particular in the last couple of days, of just players that seem to be more decompressed, just more relaxed, more themselves in front of the media. And I think if you look back, you can see how there's certain players that get put in front of the media a lot and they've got big personalities. And I imagine Christian Wilkins is Christian Wilkins no matter what's going on. That's him through and through. But I think, you know, you can see some other players that seem more relaxed, more open. And I think that's probably a reflection of how they feel about things in the building, especially now they've been in the building with the coach and the coaching staff for a short period of time. It's just that you're past that nervousness of, oh, wow, we've got, you know, completely new staff to, okay, this is good. We feel good about this. Seems like that's starting to play out. And I say, you know, everything is going to be judged on results come the season. But for now, all you can do is support each other and look like good teammates. And that's what seems to be happening. That's a much better place to be in than hearing some of the, you know, the rumors and stuff which you try to kind of poo-poo the last couple of years, but really.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, mate, and it's a good observation. It's quite easy to look at these things and just be like, oh, another sort of quarterback holding an event. But yeah, you've pulled out some really interesting points, and you kind of hope it's the start of things to come. And you imagine that the sort of rookie class coming in will be made to feel sort of really welcome, and hopefully, you know, if we take that lots of people sort of saying, oh, we need like a linebacker in the third round. If that guy comes in, then I think he's going to have a fairly big role. So linebacker depth still isn't great for me. And so, you know, that guy needs to come in and be made to feel welcome and get on the field and be productive, that kind of thing. So, yeah, you'd hope that that's all in place and we'll have a, you know, the off-season will be such a good lead into the start of the year. You know, we're going to see training camp. We're going to get all the training camp, you know, the rubbishy stories of, oh, like, you know, Tua didn't handle the ball well today, whatever like that. But it probably won't be sort of as venomous as it was last year. It'll be like, you know, a day at training camp today, on to the next day sort of thing, rather than
that's it,
you know, picking through things for weeks at a time.
And I think also it was mentioned in the pressers the other day. I want to say it was Joe Shad, and someone please correct me if I'm wrong down the line, because like you said, you see so much stuff on Twitter and taking so much information. I really get better at taking notes about who said what, who said what and when. But I think he actually made a point of the media are happy, are in a happier place because they're getting better access. Like, access has been taken away from the media over the last couple of years due to COVID. There's not the sort of training camp access. There's not the post-game locker room access, all those sorts of things that really led to great content and honest conversations. And now they're really getting to only see people when they're prepped by PR staff and put on a podium and kind of prepared for what's about to come. And you don't get that kind of raw emotion. But I think now we're seeing a much more open coaching staff. Not everything's cloak and dagger. And I understand why the last coaching staff were like that, not really holding it against them. Just this is a stark contrast, and probably it's certainly better for us as content creators. It's better for us as fans. Like, maybe we get halfway through the season and say, why don't they just stop talking? I don't know, but you know, it feels so much better. And I think, I think it was Joe Shad that kind of mentioned it with a bit of a chuckle in the presser on Wednesday. That they're happy with the new coaching staff for that reason. And I think, you know, sometimes you can say stuff which is, I don't know, you can talk and sound like you're saying a lot without saying much as well. There's different ways to do it. You can just not say anything. Or you can speak for a long time and without giving, divulging, you know, big secrets, you know. But there is stuff you can say that's not going to hurt anyone. So
exactly, no, it's all a feel good factor, isn't it? That's the main thing. Right, those are the things we wanted to cover off this week, I think. Anything else from you, Dolphins wise?
No, I just wanted to mention as well. It's great to see Tua being as big an influence in the community and being able to, you know, blend that with his culture and you know, his way of being. That's great. You also saw him back in Tuscaloosa donating to Nick Saban's charities and doing good work there. You know, just a good dude. It's easy to support good people.
Yeah, exactly. Easy to support our QB. I've been critical of on-field stuff, but I'm so ready to finally see what he can do this year.
It's okay to be critical of people's play without it being personal. Those are two separate things. It's when those lines get muddied that things get bad. And I think that, you know, that has happened over the last couple of years. Not saying you tell it. I just mean in general that has happened. And that's not the case. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you. Great. Well, we'll wrap it up. A couple of things before we get off. First is that my sort of separate thing with the full 10 yards. We've got our draft guide out, guys. So please do go and check that out at full 10 yards. You'll see all the details, and we'll be giving a draft guide away via the podcast over the weekend. So look out for our Twitter feed for that. And we've been kind of teasing some sort of big announcement for the last few weeks. It is coming, and as part of that, look out for the fact that the next podcast we do is probably going to be on a different feed. We're so thankful for Dave and the First and 10 Network for having us for a while. We're going to be kind of shunting away from that, probably on a different feed. So look out for that. You probably won't get any more Dolphin UK podcasts on this network for the time being, but I'll put all the details on Twitter. And, you know, just hit us up if you can't find it, and you'll definitely be able to find the new one very soon. And we'll have as much detail as we can when we can announce it. So stick with us. Exciting times across the board. Exciting times for the Dolphins. Exciting times for us. Who knows? They might even be linked. See you later.